You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 63. On the last show, I visited with Megan Braden Perry, the author of Crescent City Snow, the ultimate guide to New Orleans snowball stands. We explored New Orleans by talking about snowball stands all across the city. We talked about where to go and what to expect. We learned about the stands with specialty flavors, stands with inside seating, and a whole lot more. We also discussed Megan's version of a combo meal. You'll have to listen to find out what that is. And Megan shared her snowball hotline, where you can call or text 24 hours a day to get all your snowball questions answered. Who knew? If you missed it, please go back and give it a listen. You'll be happy you did, particularly if you live in New Orleans or planning a visit when the weather is warm. In today's episode, we jump into that warm weather and help you prepare for summer in New Orleans. We're going to talk about what to do, where to go, and how to survive the summertime heat and humidity in New Orleans. We'll cover festivals, tips for beating the heat, and more. By the end of today's show, we'll have you ready to go for your visit. Here to help me out today is a special guest. If you've joined our Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew, that's K-R-E-W-E, like parades, you probably benefited from her ideas and insights about New Orleans. This person is the backbone of the podcast. She helps with ideas, contributes frequently to the group, and pretty much keeps me in line, too. She's my wife and my partner. Welcome to the show, Marie Bologna. How are you?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Finally, after 62 episodes, 2+ years, we finally have you on the air.
I'm pleased to be here.
We'll see how it goes, right? So maybe it'll be a one-off appearance. Maybe it'll be a somewhat regular appearance. But anyway, I'm excited to have you with me on the show. As you know, we're just on the edge of summer in New Orleans. We've enjoyed a terrific spring, but the temperature and the humidity are both creeping up. We're recording this actually at the end of Jazz Fest in 2018, and just over the last 10 days of Jazz Fest, we've felt the humidity creep up and the temperature creep up, right?
Yeah, we've had a really beautiful spring. I mean, the humidity's been low. I've been able to enjoy outside without sweating to death, but those sweltering temperatures are on the way.
Yes, they are. You know, really, Marie's right. Usually we go straight from winter to summer, and by the first weekend in Jazz Fest, you can count on mid-80s and a lot of humidity. And last weekend, which was the first weekend of Jazz Fest, was as nice a weather weekend as you and I can remember in Jazz Fest.
Right. If you were able to be here for the first weekend, I mean, it was just absolutely gorgeous. Cool, yeah. In the shade.
Low humidity.
Right. Really, really nice.
But those days are probably gone. So what we're going to do today is to help the listeners, Marie, prepare for a summer trip to New Orleans. Again, we're going to tell them about a bunch of festivals and events and offer some tips for what to do and how to survive the summer. Because I think people from cooler climates, they're afraid to visit, but it can really be a good time to visit, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are plenty of things to do in the summertime, but you sort of have to work around the heat and humidity and not plan all of your activities outdoors.
Right, that's a good point. That's one we'll keep coming back to, is try to blend some outdoor activities with some indoor events or some things to cool off, like snowballs, if you listen to the last couple episodes. And also, as we get through it, I thought your perspective in terms of you're the one primarily trying to prepare our family and the kids for going out in the hot weather and still have a good time. And I think that perspective will be useful for people. A couple reasons to visit in the summer. One, the hotels are a little bit cheaper, and we'll talk about that as we go, particularly as we talk about our sponsor, the Old 77 Hotel. But there are lots of festivals and things to do that are free in the summer.
Right. I mean, things don't slow down just because it's summertime here. There's still lots of things to do in New Orleans.
Yeah, and as I was preparing for this episode, I was thinking, with the exception of Essence Fest, there's nothing so large in the summer, like, say, Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest, that completely take over the city. So it's a pretty good time to wander around. You know, sometimes at French Quarter Fest, too, it's really hard to go do things in the French Quarter not involving French Quarter Fest.
Sure, because a lot of things are closed off streets and they have stages in different places. And so it is hard to get around if you're just coming to visit New Orleans.
Right. And so in the summer, again, with the exception of Essence Fest, which we'll talk about, you pretty much could take in a festival and easily jump out of it and do the other things without a crazy amount of crowds. So just to set the stage again, we're recording this in early May on the last day of Jazz Fest 2018. So what we thought we'd do in terms of this discussion is we would talk about and look at things to do from this point in the year, from early May up to and including Labor Day weekend. So that's sort of just beyond Jazz Fest and culminating with Southern Decadence on Labor Day weekend. And so the idea is to share with you the festivals and also talk about the weather and that kind of thing and help you prepare. So with that, let's jump in. You kind of mentioned it, Murray, but the weather this time of year, you know, what you can expect starting in May is mid-80s going up into the 90s. The later into the summer you get, the humidity also cranks up.
Right. By the end of May and early June, I mean, it's really pretty sweltering outside. It will get worse in August, but you definitely need to prepare for your warm, warm climate when you come to visit. So
I think August is probably the worst, if you will. But July and August, and even into September these days, pretty tough. If you're from a northern climate, I lived in Minnesota for a couple of years. If you're just not prepared for heat and humidity, if you're coming in those months in particular, you just want to know what you're getting into and you want to dress appropriately.
Right. I mean, I think it's really important to make sure you have your hat, you have your sunscreen, maybe even a small fan that you can keep, or worst cases, I mean, like we've taken squirt bottles out to Jazz Fest, and I think that saved me the other day when it was pretty warm. And if you don't have those things, you want to at least take an opportunity to get inside in some air conditioning, stop and have a drink someplace at, you know, a bar that maybe you've never been to, or do something like that just to cool off before you head back out.
Yeah, you know, I was laughing at you the other day when we took the kids out to Jazz Fest and Marie had one of those little squirt bottles, sort of like you would water plants with or whatever. It was a mister. But that thing was really useful, and one of our kids just spent the day spraying all of us, and I gotta say it helped far more than I thought it might.
You don't really realize how much the heat is affecting you until you're sort of in the midst of being overcome by it.
Yeah, fair enough. So let's jump in. One of the things that surprised even me as we were putting this list together is just how many festivals there are in the summer. We kind of take it for granted. And so we're going to start kind of chronologically in May. We haven't listed every festival, but we've listed the ones that either we've been to or that sound really great or that we have experience with. And I should also mention, Marie, people are going to be furiously trying to write this stuff down. We're going to provide a link in the show notes so you can get a list of all of the festivals we talked about. And again, another plug for the free group, the Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew, is a great resource. We have about 525 members now. Again, it's free. It's just a place for people to go ask questions and also share their experiences.
And I think a lot of our members are pretty actively engaged. They either love New Orleans or they're looking to share their experiences. Periodically, I'll share a couple things out there that are maybe different from what Mark puts, things that I think people might be interested in if they are coming into town.
Sure. And with that said, so I know some of you will just try to write down everything. Know that there'll be some resources for you at the end to get them. So let's jump in. In May, we've come up with 7 events. The first is one we've been enjoying recently. It's a recurring series called Jazz in the Park. Or excuse me, I want to start with Wednesdays at the Square. Wednesdays at the Square starts in late April and it goes until late May. And this is put on by the Youth Leadership Council here in New Orleans?
Yeah, the YLC.
It's held on Wednesdays. It starts at about 5:30 in the afternoon, goes to about 7:30 or 8. So it's after work. It's in the right on the edge of the Central Business District, the Warehouse District. It's at Lafayette Square, which is a nice little park right across from Gallier Hall, which was City Hall for many years in New Orleans. And so they have really top-notch artists, local artists. In recent weeks, we've seen Big Sam and his Funky Nation. So as you would imagine, funk. Sam plays the trombone. Last week, we saw Amanda Shaw and the Cute Guys. Amanda is also a Louisiana native who's been playing fiddle for 20 years, I think she said, professionally. She's 26, 27 years old.
Right. She's been in the business for a long time.
And so they usually have two acts, a bigger act and a smaller act. It starts right about 5:30. Again, it's free. It's right on the St. Charles streetcar line. So you see the streetcar going back and forth as you're watching the acts. Like most of the events we're going to talk about, it's free to get in. And what you do at this one is you buy tickets to purchase alcohol or drinks, snowballs. They have food vendors. And I guess one of the things I find myself telling people visiting is when you go to festivals in New Orleans, the food is far better than what you might have encountered, say, at a county or a state fair. There's not like everything on a stick. It tends to be really good New Orleans food. Jambalaya Girl was out there last week selling great chicken and andouille sausage, jambalaya. So there's a lot of good local food, and it's relatively cheap, $3, $4, $5 for a sampling or a plate of food.
Yeah, I hadn't been there in a while, and I didn't notice that they said no outside food when we came in. But, I mean, if you have kids, feel free to bring some snacks. It's not like they're going to give you a hard time about that. I mean, we didn't have any problems. But that being said, Mark mentioned that there are some great local vendors. I mean, get your Abita beer, get your jambalaya, get your hot sausage po' boy if they have that, or something else yummy. I mean, it's not going to be as an extensive selection of food as at something like Jazz Fest, but it's a great opportunity to sample some local food.
Yeah, I think there's probably, at that one, there's probably 8 or 10 booths of food. We got snowballs from Imperial Woodpecker, which is a place that Megan mentioned last week. Really good snowballs. Again, I think one of the things we like is it's family friendly. So people bring blankets, bring the bag chairs. As soon as the sun goes down or tucks behind the buildings, it's pretty comfortable out. You know, now getting into the latter part of the series, it's obviously getting hotter. But we had some really nice weekends or really nice weather for the earlier dates.
Yeah, I think coming up this week on the 9th, it looks like it's going to be Bonorama at 6:30 with Nolan's Johnny's at 5. And they do have a couple of dates in June, possibly if there are, I think, for rain. Mm-hmm. So makeup dates, that sort of thing. But it looks like it runs pretty much through the end of May.
And that's a good example. Bonorama is sort of a band I'm not sure you could find anywhere else. But they are, as it sounds, a bunch of trombone players and other brass players. They often have people sit in. Craig Klein, the lead guy there, just terrific music. And a fun time. I mean, we enjoyed it. The kids were up dancing. It's not super crowded, so there's space to spread out. There's an art market, a craft market. It's really a fun time. And again, it's a low cost of entry. So if you go and it's not for you, it's easy to leave.
Right. I mean, that's one of the things that we usually look at when we consider taking the children is if no one's having a good time, then we just leave and you don't feel like you've dropped a lot of money on it.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of on-street parking. You see a lot of people on bicycles. The streetcar again passes right there, so it's easy. If you're in town visiting, whether you're here for work or a conference, or you're here on vacation, keep that in mind. It's just a really fun event. As you can hear, we really enjoy it. And the family has enjoyed it. Similarly, what I was talking about right at the beginning is there's another event on Thursdays called Jazz in the Park. And this one is held in Armstrong Park. And again, it runs from late April, I think, through June 7th this year. But sort of that same range each year. Jazz in the Park is in Armstrong Park, which is in the Treme. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, it's in what we call back of town, so right behind the French Quarter, the original footprint of the city. There's the Rampart streetcar line that runs right there between the back of the French Quarter and Armstrong Park now. And again, very similarly, a great music lineup focusing on New Orleans jazz. You'll find food vendors there, many of the same vendors. You can buy something to eat or drink. There's a lot of shade there in Armstrong Park. And also a lot of the history of jazz. So you can see some statues to some of the jazz greats. There's a little area commemorating Mardi Gras Indians. And also you've heard us talk in previous episodes about the Backstreet Cultural Museum, which is just a couple blocks behind there. So if you were coming to visit and you wanted to go check out Mardi Gras Indian history, go see Mr. Sylvester Francis at the Backstreet Cultural Museum there in the Treme, and then walk back up and catch Jazz in the Park. Again, it's the same thing. It's about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evenings to about 8 o'clock on Thursdays. The next festival we want to talk about is one that we have enjoyed over the years, and that's Bayou Boogaloo.
Yeah, that takes place on the banks of Bayou St. John, which is not too far from the Jazz Fest fairgrounds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this year it's May 18th through 20th, and I wouldn't get too hung up on the dates. We're presenting them in the months that they're always in. That one is a free festival, though you were saying this year they're going to charge or ask for a small donation after maybe 2 or 3 o'clock?
I want to say it's after 3 o'clock. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's $5 at the gate from 5 to 9:15 on Friday, and then after 3 on Saturday and Sunday, it's $10. I think, you know, it costs a lot to put on these festivals, so they have decided to go ahead and charge, you know, something to offset their costs. So
it's a neat one. It was the first event I can remember taking the kids to, because again, our thought was, I think they asked for a donation, but there was no requirement. You could
that
bring
sounds
in.
Right.
It was right on Bayou St. John, which isn't too far from us. There's off-street park, or not off-street, but there was ample street parking. And we thought, well, you know, it's kind of a low barrier to entry. We'll give it a shot. Like a lot of these festivals, they have a kids area. So they had a little tent specific for kids with a couple crafts and maybe some music focused on the kids. But like almost all these festivals, you're going to get a lot of local artists, a lot of the same artists, but bands that we all know and love here in New Orleans. You're going to get a lot of brass, a lot of jazz. You'll get some rock, some country mixed in, but just the artists that we get to see all the time or that you might see in the clubs here perform. You also get to see Mardi Gras Indians. So there'll usually be a performance by one or more Indian gangs or tribes. One of the things that makes this one special is, as Marie mentioned, it's right on Bayou St. John, which is in the heart of Mid-City. It happens to be really close to Parkway Bakery and Po' Boys, if you've been there. But because it's adjacent to the bayou, lots of people canoe or kayak up, or they make their homemade, this is like always a little dubious to me, but they make their homemade boats or rafts and float into that part of the bayou and just hang out on their contraptions and enjoy the music. I think I've even seen maybe like a little pop-up bar, may have been official or not, right there on the water.
Yeah, it's definitely taken off as far as the floating contingent.
Right. So if you're into that, our friends at Canoe and Trail, you know, you
check
get
out
a, get
the schedule though. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like there might be Mark Broussard, Walter Wolfman Washington, and the Roadmasters with Samantha Fish. One of my favorites, Alex McMurray. I actually went to Tulane with Alex back in the day. But let's see, some others that I have not heard of, but it's always good to check out, you know, familiar favorites as well as some new acts.
Yeah. You mentioned Mark Broussard. We really love Mark Broussard. He's from out near Lafayette in Karen Crow, southwest of here, about 140 miles where I went to college in Cajun country. So that's the kind of acts you get, really good quality music that we enjoy that's a good representation of New Orleans. Moving on, I think it's the same weekend. I don't have it right in front of me, actually, but is Greek Fest.
No, that's usually Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, thank you. So one of the great things about Greek Fest, there's Greek festivals all over, of course. So this is on the other end of Bayou St. John, so a little bit closer to Lake Pontchartrain. The Greek church there is beautiful, and so you can go on tours and all the things you would expect at a Greek festival, but the bayou right there. So again, you'll have people kayak and canoe up. I think they even have like a canoe race associated with it now.
I think there's a 5K. I mean, it's been going on for 45 years. That particular church has been there. We even saw a PBS special on WYES not that long ago about how Greeks have contributed to New Orleans. But if you like music and you want to go out there and get some ouzo and some delicious foods, you know, please go check it out.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things there, you talked about that PBS special on WYES, they talked about rebuilding that church in the community after Katrina. And so that was a really interesting thing to see and learn about. And that community has been a really strong community here in New Orleans for a long time.
Yeah, it looks like on Friday is the 5K, and it's about $8 to get in, but kids under 12 are free. You can get your tickets online or you can get them at the gate. I think we usually just get ours at the gate. Mark and I will sometimes split up for that one. He's not as much of a lover of Greek food as I am. So, but my daughter Olivia loves to eat feta cheese. So we will be going out there to get us some Greek salad and some delicious pastries. So,
well, and one of the things you mentioned, there is something for everyone. I've been a runner for 35 years, and that 5K is neat because it's on Friday evening. So it's one of the few races that's an evening event. And of course, in part, they're trying to beat the heat. So it runs right along the bayou. That's a fun thing to do. I've now found my chronological list, Marie, so we'll jump back in. One of the events that I missed on Mother's Day, which this year is May 13th, is Irma Thomas at the Zoo. And Irma Thomas is pretty much the first lady of music in New Orleans. She's been around for a long, long time. In fact, they've held this event for 30 or 35 years, I think. I remember going as a kid, actually. So it's an annual event at Audubon Zoo in Audubon Park, uptown in New Orleans. Irma Thomas is a Grammy Award-winning artist and just a wonderful New Orleanian, a wonderful ambassador for the city. So moms get in free that day.
Right, I was going to say, yay for the moms.
Yay for the moms. And if you are a New Orleanian and you're already a member of the zoo, then you get in free anyway. So that's a great opportunity. And if you're not, then you pay the admission, which I think runs from about $17 to $22 per person. But you get into the zoo and you get to explore the zoo and you get a great concert by Irma Thomas. It's a really fun family event. And it's relatively early in the day. So again, it's starting to get warm. But that's a popular popular event. It gets pretty crowded, but a neat thing if you're going to be in town for that. Let's see, moving on. The other big event that we wanted to talk about in May is one of your favorites, Marie, and that's the New Orleans Food and Wine Experience.
I do love the Food and Wine Experience.
So the Food and Wine Experience, it goes this year from May 23rd through 27th. So that's usually the Thursday through the Saturday or Sunday. And it includes a bunch of things. There's your favorite. There's two nights of grand tastings.
I love the grand tasting.
So there's where you get to, gosh, it's dozens and dozens of really great local New Orleans restaurants. And of course, all kinds of wine distributors, wine companies, where you can taste the wine and you get great New Orleans food to pair it with.
Yeah, in 2018, they're back at the convention center, which, I mean, I hadn't been in many years. We went last year. I really think that the convention center is a great place for this just because it is spread out and because you're starting to get into the warmer weather. So it's nice to be in a little air conditioning, enjoy some of the delicious bites that the different restaurants around town have put on offer. They usually will come up with something a little special. You get a little taste, you walk around, you taste some different wines. Can't beat it.
Yeah, we're really excited about it returning to the convention center, actually. Last year was at Mardi Gras World, which is a great venue, but not necessarily a great venue when you're sort of dressed up. People aren't real fancy, but you know, women are wearing dresses, men are wearing sort of business casual. It was a little bit warm over at Mardi Gras World.
It was well attended, so people were spilling outside. And, you know, I mean, if it had been like a week earlier, it probably would have been a little cooler, but yeah. I was sweating bullets. So yeah. I'm happy to see it back at the convention center.
Plenty of air conditioning in the convention center. And the other thing about the convention center is there's just more space. So you're not quite elbow to elbow. And again, that's real convenient. And this is maybe a good time to talk about. It's real convenient to the warehouse district there and a bunch of hotels. And while we're talking about hotels, you know, Marie, we're lucky enough that we live in New Orleans. So when we want to go to a festival, we just pile into the minivan or we take the streetcar. But if you don't live here, you need to find a place to stay. And that's where the Old 77 Hotel comes in. It's a place I've recommended frequently. I'm happy to have them now as sponsors of the show. And you hear me talk about it all the time because it's in a great location. So it's in the Warehouse District, just 3 blocks from the French Quarter and just a couple blocks from the Convention Center where the Food and Wine Experience
is. Yeah, that would be a great place to have be set up as your home base if you were coming in for the Food and Wine Experience.
So. Yeah, in fact, this week we're recording this, just ended the Collision Tech Conference, and we had a bunch of people stay right there at the Old 77 because it's so close. There's a lot of great places to eat and drink, and it's near the streetcar lines too. Plus Lafayette Square, we were just talking about, it's a really short walk, a block and a half up there to catch Wednesdays at the square. The other thing about Old 77 is they have a great award-winning restaurant, Compare Le Pen, terrific chef Nina Compton, and award-winning bartender Abigail Gullo, who was great and helped host us. In fact, Abigail was a guest on this show.
Right, you interviewed her a while back.
Really a lot of fun. You should definitely go visit Abigail. The other thing I like about the Old 77, well, it's pet friendly, which is great. And there's a lot of different range of rooms. So there are interior rooms. So if you have partied too much and want to sleep in, like some of our friends sometimes do and don't want the daylight, there's a room for you. There's also some suites, some bigger rooms. They have like exposed brick, and all the things in the room are tied into New Orleans. So the beverages in the room are tied into New Orleans. And again, it's in a good location. It also reminds me, we're going to talk about Essence Fest, and it's right between the convention center and not that far from the Superdome, where the bulk of those events happen. Anyway, as you can tell, I really love Old 77. You can use the code BBOLD77 when you book a room, and you save up to 25%. Plus, you get a bit of lanyap, a little something extra in the form of a $10 credit at their coffee shop called Tootlaw downstairs in the morning. One other thing, if you do book at the Old 77, you send me a copy of your confirmation to mark@beyondbourbonst.com, and I'll send you my quick guide of what to do, eat, and see in the Warehouse District. So again, Marie, you know, you go to the Food and Wine Experience, you probably don't want to be driving.
It's always good to be able to walk or catch a quick cab or an Uber or a Lyft or whatever your preferred mode of transportation is, but I think if you're staying at the Old 77, it's a short trip.
Yeah, and then there's plenty of places if you want to continue the party afterwards right there. And again, we're going to go to the Food and Wine Experience, so if you're in town and you're going to go, go over to the Facebook page and let us know. Maybe we'll do a little meetup first. Maybe we'll meet up over at Compare Le Pen and have a pre-game drink. So that's, I think we hit five or six. Oh, there's one more even in May. This is not one we go to, but the Bayou Country Superfest at the end
that's
of May.
That's the Superdome, right?
Right. They usually have a free concert in Champion Square, which is adjacent to the dome outside. And then they have a couple days of music. I think this used to be held out in Baton Rouge at LSU or near there. This year, George Strait is playing, Chris Stapleton, Little Big Town, and more. Plus, they also have Marie on the Friday night. They have a free fireworks show on the Mississippi River in conjunction with the Bayou Country
Superfest. Love the fireworks.
Yeah, and that free concert, I think, is actually on Saturday at Champion Square. So if you love country music, you're going to be in town for that. Again, that's a great event. And it's kind of contained there in the Dome and the Smoothie King Center in Champion Square. Plenty of parking, plenty of hotels near there, a bunch of places to go eat and get something to drink. So that's a fun event to keep in mind. So that's seven events in May alone, Marie, and that's not even all of them. That's just the ones that caught our eye or that we have some experience with. You know, one of the things before we move into June that I want to talk about is we think, in talking about it, the way to do this is if you're going to go do the outdoor events, particularly as we get into June, July, August, you want to kind of mix in some outdoor events with some indoor things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good idea just to beat the heat. You know, you got to stop and have a drink, rehydrate, you know, just get out of the sun a little bit and sort of start to feel a little bit better so you can go back out and tackle your next fun activity.
Yeah. And so a couple of things. We're going to do a whole other episode about this, but the World War II Museum is in the warehouse district there. And so we were just talking about Lafayette Square and the food and wine experience, which is indoors. We're going to talk about some other festivals. But the World War II Museum, you could easily spend a day. I think you can spend more than a day. Like, they have a pass. I
mean, if you're a history aficionado, if you really enjoy the studying of World War II, I mean, this is the place to go. I mean, they have so many great exhibits. It's so extensive, and it's just very informational.
Yeah, I mean, it has grown. Just in the time we've been back in New Orleans, 6 or 7 years, it's grown so much. They now have a pass where for a couple dollars, you can basically extend it the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that
because I think
great.
So many people were worried about, I can't get it all in.
Right.
But it's also divided up by the theaters of World War II, so that if you have a particular interest in the Pacific Theater, let's say, or D-Day specifically, you could go in and just see that part. I bring it up because it's in a really central location. And for some people, it's going to be the focus of their trip. They're going to want to see that and then maybe go do one of these festivals. Others, it might be the reverse. So keep it in mind. We're probably going to do two episodes. I want to do one about the museum.
Uh-huh.
But I also want to do one about Andrew Higgins. So Higgins was from New Orleans, and he created the boats, the landing crafts.
The duck boats.
Right. They were called the Higgins Landing Craft. They had a technical name, but they were the boats used to bring soldiers ashore on D-Day. And those boats are largely credited for helping to win the war, for being a major factor there. So we're going to do an episode about Higgins and the landing crafts, but I want to do a separate one about the World War II Museum. So anyway, I just point that out as one of the places to get out of the weather and really enjoy a world-class premier museum and wonderful place to visit. So we'll come back to some others as we go. As we head into June, though, on the calendar, Marie, early in June, the first weekend actually, is the New Orleans Oyster Festival. So that one's on Waldenburg Park, which is the park along the Mississippi River in the French Quarter. It's, again, like most of these, it's free. They have, as you would imagine, lots of oyster dishes, but from some of the best seafood restaurants in the city. So I saw it just last night looking, G.W. Finn's and Pesh and Redfish Grill. Or any of the places we would recommend that you go to eat great seafood, great oysters, Drago's with their charbroiled oysters.
I love those.
I know you do. And so again, the booths that you get food at festivals in New Orleans, it's unlike any place else you're going to go. There's not lots of meat on a stick, for instance. There's just top-notch food. So again, because this is the Oyster Fest, there's an oyster eating contest, Marie. There's an oyster shucking contest.
Bucktown All-Stars are playing.
Bucktown All-Stars, a great cover band here in New Orleans.
Shamar Allen.
Shamar Allen's a wonderful trumpet player, again from New Orleans, and quite not only a musician, but also an entertainer. The other thing I like, Marie, is this one. So it has the arts and crafts booths, like most of them do, but it's heavy on the oyster-themed artwork. So there's everything from oyster trays to painted oyster shells to seafood-type themes. And, of course, there's the live music, very similar to some of the other ones that you've mentioned, Marie. So that's a fun event at the beginning of June. This year in 2018, it's from June 2nd to 3rd. You mentioned, Shamar, the Lost Bayou Ramblers, who are a Grammy Award-winning act, by the way, that appear at several of these events we're going to talk about. So really good lineup.
The other thing is, and I noticed this when the Tall Ships were in town, I mean, a lot of these festivals, even though they may be free, if you're looking for more of a premium experience, a lot of them do have VIP passes. Like if you check the websites and you take a look at that, like the one for Oyster Festival, it looks like you can relax in an area where there's seating and some air-conditioned restrooms. And I want to say that you get a ticket for some a food item as well as five drinks, either alcohol and plus unlimited soda and water. So if you want something where you don't want to be stuck down there and you're like basically roasting to death if the weather turns out to be really hot,
right.
If you wanted to pay for this, I mean, and I don't think they're inexpensive, but if it's something that you would be interested in, a lot of these festivals do have some sort of VIP pass that you can purchase to give you just a little bit more.
That's a great point. And where they have websites, we're going to put the links over in the show notes or in a downloadable document for you so you can check that out. Coming, the other thing there is it's on the river, so you get the views and the breeze of the river. You get to see the Natchez and the riverboats coming and going and the river traffic, which I think is somewhat easy to take for granted if you're from here. And certainly when we bring visitors down there, they're just amazed to see, one, how wide the river is and the amount of traffic on the river there.
And it's right beside the aquarium as well. I mean,
That's
that
right.
would be another place that you could get in out of the heat and just see some of the great exhibits at the aquarium, the tunnel with the fish in it. And if you come to New Orleans a couple of times, I mean, if you get an Audubon Zoo pass, I want to say, depending on how many people in your party, but let's say it's a 2 adults and 2 kids, I mean, buying a membership a lot of the times can cover the cost of your visit. And if you are back, you know, more often, you can just pop into these places and you don't feel like you have to drop a whole lot of money just to go in there if you're not going to be staying that long. It is something that I would recommend taking a look at and crunching the numbers to see if a membership makes more sense than buying just a one-day admission.
Yeah, it's a good point because a membership to the Audubon Institute includes the aquarium, the insectarium right down the street, which our kids didn't love, but a lot of kids do love.
The bugs.
There's a butterfly garden there. And then, of course, the zoo itself, which is a wonderful zoo. As we look at the schedule, there's a lot of stuff jammed up in the first 10 days or so of June. There's the New Orleans Pride Festival, June 8th through 10th. So it coincides with Pride events nationwide over the same time period. There's a large French Quarter parade on the Saturday. There's vendors, there's performers, music. Amanda Shaw, again, she's the Grand Marshal of their parade this year. Most events...
She's busy.
She is busy. She's like a little bundle of energy, too. We've seen her, I think the first time I saw her, she was 6 or 7 years old. About the age of our kids now. And she's now, like I said, 26, 27 years old. Sort of headquarters for the Pride Festival is a place called the Phoenix, which is over on Elysian Fields. That's really on the other side, on the downtown side, if you will, of the French Quarter. Elysian Fields sort of cuts the Marigny from the Bywater. So for those of you not that familiar, you're in the French Quarter and you head downtown, you hit the Marigny and then the Bywater. There's a lot of things. Again, the parade comes through the French Quarter. We're going to do some specific episodes in the future about gay life in New Orleans. Another one that you and I had never heard of, it's new this year, but it made us laugh and I thought we should include it, is the Yacht Rock on the Lake.
Yeah, I think it's just one day. It's on June 9th.
Yeah, but you know, one of the cool things is it's out on Lake Pontchartrain and we have a lighthouse out there. The lighthouse suffered a lot of damage in Katrina. They've rebuilt it. This is a new event this year. It's free for kids under 12 and it's $8. One of the things is there's now, Maria, a lighthouse museum there. So it's probably a pretty small museum, but that would be interesting. And again,
I haven't seen that. We'll have to check it out.
Right. We're going to go check it out. The other thing is you get beautiful sunsets out there. I'm sure there'll be plenty of sailboats on the lake. And of course, the music. Again, it's on the lake. It's really accessible if you go out there. You know, you're not giving up a whole lot. And there's plenty of places to eat out there. You and I have been talking about getting back out there to explore Lakeview Harbor, which was a great burger place in Lakeview. Just moved out to the lakefront there.
Right.
There's Brisbee's on the lake. There's the Blue Crab. So it'd be a fun thing to kind of go check out, go wander among the boats out there, take some pictures, enjoy the sunset. So it made us smile. So Yacht Rock on the Lake. We'll see if we can run out there and check it out. Heading back down into the French Quarter is the Creole Tomato Festival. So that festival has been going on for a while. This year it's June 9th and 10th. It's in the French Market and the old U.S. Mint. So I like that, Marie, because it gets you a little bit out of Jackson Square. Again, it's on the Esplanade side of the French Quarter.
Right. And the French Market is always a fun thing. I mean, you know, it used to be the primary place where people would buy their vegetables. And now there are a lot of other vendors who sell crafts and things. But
yeah. So I don't know if I've told this story before, but when I was a kid, longtime listeners know that my family owned a po' boy restaurant, a little neighborhood place for 36 years. It was called Teddy's Grill. And back then, the French Market was a true wholesale market. So I think most restaurants would go there. This was before the days of Sam's and Costco and those kind of things. Restaurateurs would go there and buy their vegetables. So I remember going in the family station wagon a couple times a week before school, and we would load up with fresh tomatoes from Dixie Tomatoes and cabbage or lettuces, anything we needed, really. We would load it into the station wagon. You couldn't do this now. And then the three of us would crawl into the crawl space, Marie, above the sacks of onions and potatoes and all of that, between that and the roof. And my mom would drive us to school and drop us off. School was real close to the restaurant, and then go bring the food to the restaurant. And I remember like running in all the places, and you know, they'd give us an extra piece of fruit or something like that. But it was a fun time. So now the market doesn't really act that way as a wholesale market anymore, but there's a farmer's market there. It's right next to the old U.S. Mint, which is part of the Louisiana Museum system. That mint's interesting. They have a permanent exhibit on jazz, and they have an exhibit about its history as a mint. It's the only U.S. Mint, Marie, that at one time served the Confederacy, and then before and after served the Union.
And if you like tomatoes, there's going to be a lot of different food booths down there. They're going to have fried green tomatoes, my friend Jen's personal favorite, some Creole tomato Bloody Marys, tomato and shrimp salad, stuffed shrimp with grilled Creole tomato over rice, lots of different things, even Creole tomato gelato. Wow. Hmm. I don't know how that would be, but if you like tomatoes, you should definitely check it out.
Yeah, cooking demonstrations as well. Again, it's another free festival. It's down there in the quarter. It's shaded there, so that's nice too. If you're under the actual market stalls,
right? That's true. The sun isn't beating down on you because you are under shelter.
And then one of the things about being in the French Quarter is there's tons of places to duck into. So let's say you wanted to do that a little bit, and you wanted to head over to one of my favorites, the Historic New Orleans Collection. Until the end of May, they have the exhibit about the founding of New Orleans. We did a whole episode with them just a couple weeks back. There's the Pharmacy Museum there, a small museum. And of course, as you mentioned, lots of places to get an adult beverage if you want. So not too far from there, you could wander up to Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop. So that's one of the nice things about, and if you're staying in the French Quarter or the Warehouse District, it's an easy walk. You could go explore. I would also say people could wander over into the Marigny and look at the architecture, or just wander up and down Esplanade right there.
And also Frenchman Street is probably not too far away as well.
Exactly right, just a couple blocks. And that brings
the other
up,
side of Esplanade.
You're like building out the schedule for the rest of the year. We are working on an episode that's been much requested about Frenchman Street and the music there and the clubs there. Right, the Marigny starts right when you cross Esplanade out of that side, the downtown side of the French Quarter. So let's see. Also, you jump a little bit later in June, this year, June 23rd and 24th, you hit the Louisiana Cajun and Zydeco Festival. So this is like the jazz, the weekly jazz performances we were talking about. This is in Armstrong Park, Marie.
Okay.
Again, locals call it the back of town. This festival is dedicated to what's really known as the dance hall music in Southwest Louisiana. I mentioned that I went to college at the University of Southwestern Louisiana, USL, Go Raging Cajuns, in Lafayette. That's about 140 miles west of New Orleans. It is Acadiana or Cajun country. It is where Zydeco and Cajun music come from. This particular festival is put on by the Jazz and Heritage Foundation, so the same people that put on Jazz Fest, and it is squarely focused on that kind of music. Basically, when you look at the lineup, it's the who's who of Zydeco and Cajun music. So anybody that you've ever heard of from southwestern Louisiana that plays jazz and Cajun, that kind of music is going to be there. Again, the Lost Bayou Ramblers we mentioned earlier, Corey Lede.
And Zydeco is such a Louisiana music. I mean, really, I don't know any place else that you can go and listen to that many Zydeco performers.
And it's just part of the culture, right? I mean, you hear, I just think of like Chanka Chank and the accordion, Dwayne Dupsy and the Zydeco Hellraisers are playing. If you love Cajun and Zydeco, it is a great festival to go get your dose without going to Lafayette. But you should do that someday too. And that's probably a Beyond Bourbon Street episode as well. So that, again, is near the end of June. As we head into July, Marie, there's a couple of events. Certainly July 4th, and there's several ways to see July 4th. There's the Go Forth on the River Festival, which is really the one centered in the French Quarter. It's the one we've gone to with the kids a couple times.
We do. I mean, they set off, what they do is they put a couple of barges out in the middle of the Mississippi and get everything lined up. All of the fireworks are timed. And so they are out there on these barges in the middle of the river. And then, you know, you can see your fireworks on the 4th of July. It's really a lot of fun.
You know, when we moved back to New Orleans, we had previously lived in Northern Virginia, and we had a fabulous view of the fireworks that you see on television. Basically, we would walk out the back of the building where we lived in Northern Virginia, walk over to the Iwo Jima Memorial, and just had this stunning view. And then we moved, and the kids were brand new, 10 weeks old, 12 weeks old, and we still wanted the fireworks experience. So our way of doing that is we'd stay at the Westin right there on the riverfront.
Canal Place.
Westin Canal Place, thank you. And we'd get a riverfront view room. And so the kids were tiny, but we could watch the fireworks from the room, and I would run out and get us some local food, and we'd enjoy it there.
And it was air conditioned.
And it was, yeah, sort of like a skybox
view. If you really wanted to see the fireworks with a great view, find a rooftop hotel pool. Certainly the lobby at the Westin Canal Place is like on, I think, the 11th floor maybe. So you're already elevated. You get a great view of the river. And you can enjoy a beverage and like the air conditioning.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I wonder if the Roosevelt Hotel, which has a great rooftop pool, how much of a view you have from there.
They're a little bit further away from the river. I mean, I have seen it from the top of the Windsor Court Hotel. Mm-hmm. I think their pool is up there as well. There are a couple others down there. The closer you are to the river, I think the more likely you'll be able to see it.
And of course, you could actually, you know, bring a chair or a blanket and sit out there on the grass on the batcher there and enjoy it that way. The other thing is you can get sort of the opposing view. We've done an episode about Algiers Point. If you took the Canal Street ferry for $2 each way, the passenger ferry, you could go over to the Algiers Point side and view the fireworks from there. And that's a pretty neat view. I think they usually have some music and food and stuff from that side as well. So that's something to do. One of the newer things, Marie, in recent years, further down, again, downtown, downriver, is what's called Crescent Park. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in the Marigny Bywater. They've really built out the riverfront down there in a way that never existed. They call it Crescent Park. And this year, and I don't know if they've done it in previous years, you can go there for the 4th of July, and they're going to have some events and probably some food booths and that kind of thing. And that's an interesting angle looking back toward upriver, looking back at the river that way. So that one, my guess is, will be a little bit less crowded, but might be a fun thing to do. You're actually not far from, if you're a wine lover, you're not far from Bacchanal, which is just a great wine place to get not only live music and wine, but good food there as well. So just a different way, three different ways to experience July 4th. Coming right up against that, Marie, of course, is Essence Fest.
Right. Essence Fest, I think, pretty much is right around the 4th of July. Maybe there are some events before.
Right. It runs this year, the 5th through the 8th.
Oh, it does. Okay.
So the Essence Festival is really hard to describe in just a little bit, but it is, according to their own words, their own website, it's a music, culture, and empowerment festival. So what's interesting about Essence Fest is you have some of the largest African-American acts around. This year, the musical lineup includes people like Janet Jackson, Mary J. Blige, Erykah Badu, Snoop Dogg, The Roots.
Beyonce there?
I don't remember if Beyonce's there this year. She might be. I think she was there last year. But during the day, and so those are paid concerts. They're generally at the Superdome, so prices vary, of course. But during the day, there are all these seminars over at the convention center, and they're free. And they're everything from personal finance to empowerment, business development seminars, and there's some musical acts over there too. And again, it's put on by Essence Magazine. It's the Essence Festival, but it is not solely by any means for only, quote-unquote, African-Americans. There are all kinds of events that are terrific for anybody. And again, what I love is that it's all-encompassing. Now, if you don't want to go to Essence Festival, it is the one event in the summer that it really does sort of...
It's a major event, right. So it does take over the city. I mean, I would say if you're looking to come to New Orleans for the 4th of July, make sure you get your hotel reservations booked sooner rather than later.
Same thing with restaurants. because it brings in tens of thousands of people. So it's a busy time. But there's so much to do. And again, there's the range of, you can pay a lot of money and go to some of the concerts and get VIP seats, or you can go to a lot of the seminars and some of the free concerts and enjoy it. So there's a lot of different things there. Again, this year it's July 5th through 8th. It usually bucks right up either before or right after July 4th. Coming off of that, of course, New Orleans has a strong French history and a strong French culture. And so there's the Bastille Day Fête. This year it's Friday, July 13th. It's hosted by the New Orleans Museum of Art, which is in City Park. This is one I didn't even realize till we were doing the research, Marie. It's free for New Orleans Museum of Art NOMA members like us, so it's free. Right. But it's $5 otherwise. And it includes music and dancing. They also have some special gallery tours there. And there's some kids' activities as well.
Kids are all about the activities.
Yes, our kids are all about the activities. One of the things, too, is it's in City Park. So City Park, we did a whole episode. It was episode number 33 about all the things to do in the park. And there's nothing that costs a lot of money in the park. Again, museum admission would be a few bucks. But there's lots of free things in the park. There's a sculpture garden.
Right.
You can wander among the oak trees. Just great picture taking. There's some 800 and 900-year-old live oaks there in the park. We just spent an evening over at the Carousel Gardens Amusement Park in Storyland, which you do pay for, but it's a mini amusement park for kids. And I would say it probably appeals to kids from, our kids are 6 years old. Probably
up to about 10,
yeah.
10 or 12 maybe.
There's a neat little roller coaster there. There's a Ferris wheel.
Ferris wheel and the train.
The train, which goes all through the City Park. Again, that's kind of a nice, if you need a break, it's covered and you're among the oak trees. So there's a lot to do in City Park. Something to think about. If you're going to be here at Bastille Day, go take in that festival over there and also enjoy the park a bit. Even if you're not here for Bastille Day, you know, we're talking about getting in and out of the heat. City Park's a place where there's a lot to do in the shade. There's some things that aren't so shaded, but you could take a break and go, you know, go to the museum if that appeals to you. There's a couple of exhibits, and you might have it there, Marie. I think there's two or three exhibits running through this summer. There's one about Veronese paintings.
Yeah, Veronese and Murano. I want to say that there's two Venetian Renaissance masterpieces that New Orleans is only the second U.S. museum to host this exhibit with these two paintings being displayed together. So I think that if you're interested in Veronese, that's something you should definitely check out at the museum.
They also have two separate exhibits by a guy named Lee Friedlander. And so Friedlander was known in the, I think from the 50s through the 70s, he did a lot of musician portraits for various record companies and labels. So there's an exhibit running of some of that work. And then there's a sub-exhibit of his interest and work specifically in New Orleans. So that is really worth checking out. That's something that I want to get over and see sometime in the next couple weeks.
Is that the one with some of the Storyland?
Storyville?
Storyville, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there's you're thinking of Balak, probably.
Okay.
This was later, but he has some pictures of Jazz Fest and just scenes in New Orleans that are well worth checking out. And again, we'll put the link to the Museum of Art so you can take a look at that. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek but fun thing in the middle of July, and I don't know if, yeah, we jumped into July, is the Running of the Bulls. So if you're in New Orleans has a way of either creating our own festivals or co-opting others. And so, Marie's shaking her head. July 13th to the 15th this year is the Running of the Bulls, at least the New Orleans take on it. And so this happens on Convention Center Boulevard, again in the Warehouse District, close to the Old 77 and right outside the building where you go for the New Orleans food and wine experience. The New Orleans version of Running with the Bulls is basically 18,000 runners being chased by roller derby women who have plastic bats. So it's every bit as crazy as it sounds.
Do they have horns?
They do have horns. Yeah, they have horns and they're on roller skates and they're dressed as bulls more or less. And the runners, of course, are wearing white as they would in Pamplona. And I don't know how many bulls there are in Pamplona. We should ask our friend Emmett, who recently did run with the bulls. But there's 18,000 runners and 400 bulls. So it feels like your odds are pretty good. They do use those plastic bats, like the red bats, you know, that kids play wiffle ball with. And I have seen quite a bit of smacking. I would say this is a PG-13 and above event. There may or may not
also
be.
There must be YouTube videos of this.
There are. There's also a fair amount of alcohol. There's also, as part of the festival, there's an Ernest Hemingway lookalike contest. So a lot of fun. Again, New Orleanians are always looking for an opportunity to have a festival in the street and party. And if that includes alcohol, then so be it. So that's a fun thing. I'm a runner. I don't know that there's a lot of emphasis on the running part of this. I know several women who are bulls in this event, and they say it's a lot of fun.
I can only imagine from the bulls' perspective.
Can you imagine, right, smacking 18,000 drunk people with a red plastic bat? What's not to love, really, right? Probably not a kid event, I would say. But again, another event close to the old 77 Hotel. Speaking of cocktails, Marie, July 17th through 22nd this year is Tales of the Cocktail. So Tales of the Cocktail is sort of the major event, the premier event in the United States for cocktail industry professionals. So it is a big conference of people who are involved in that industry. So they have seminars, they have tastings, they have competitions. There's lots of specialty nights at local bars and restaurants. And so while it's primarily focused on industry professionals, there are a lot of opportunities for non-industry, for just cocktail lovers, particularly the seminars, some of the dinners, and then lots of branded companies will have events at various places. I went to the Rusty Nail last year. I think it had a great series of drinks there. It was last year or the year before was the year of the Moscow Mule. And so they had all kinds of variants on the Moscow
Mule.
Right.
I mean, they make up drinks for this.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's really great. It went through like a major shakeup in the last year with a change in ownership. And so it'll be curious to see what direction they go in. But the cocktail industry was very concerned about making sure it continued. It took the best of what it was and made it even better. So again, that's in middle of July. Certainly a warm time of year here, but a lot of fun if you're into cocktails and mixology. And certainly if you are a bar professional, something you want to check out.
And an opportunity to get inside in the air conditioning.
Absolutely. With a cool drink, right? So that's fun.
Excellent.
So all of the events we've talked about, Marie, have been here in New Orleans, and we've done that intentionally, thinking about visitors that are coming, and New Orleans is a place when you come to visit, you really don't need a car. But we made one exception on this list, and that's a Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo. So near the end of July, this year it's the 23rd through the 26th, is the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo. So Grand Isle is down near the mouth of the river, and this is the Super Bowl for fishermen, particularly big game fishermen. It's the oldest fishing rodeo in the country. I've never participated. I've been down there once for it. I used to fish out of the mouth of the river on a ship regularly. But if you are a fisherman or particularly a big game type fisherman, this is something you want to keep in mind. If you've never done it, it would be a wonderful time to come to the city. You would to get down to Grand Isle. You definitely need a car. So it's the one event on our list that you need a car for, but we just thought it was worth mentioning. Again, Marie, now we're moving into August and really the epicenter of heat and humidity. So as we talk about these, you definitely want to be thinking about ways to get out. But early in August is the Satchmo Summerfest. This year, it's August 3rd through 6th. It's in the old U.S. Mint. We talked about the Mint earlier. So the Mint's life
right down
today,
the backside of the French Market.
Exactly. Right up against Esplanade Avenue. It is known as the Jazz Museum. So as you would imagine, that weekend is all about celebrating the life and music of Louis Armstrong. The details in terms of the actual lineup and all aren't out yet as we record this. But again, you can go hang out in the French Market there beforehand. This is a good event because you really, if you enjoy jazz music, you're going to get a taste of it. You're going to get some of the history. And it would be something that you could easily do for one day or part of a day while you're exploring New Orleans. So that's early in the month. Right after that, or right up against it, is White Linen Night, Marie. This year, it's August 5th. So this is over on Julia Street in the Warehouse District.
Yeah, White Linen Night is when everyone brings out their fancy linen or their seersucker suits, yeah. And they go out and enjoy some cocktails in the street and check out all of the local galleries.
Yeah, so the Julia Street in the Warehouse District is lined with high-end art galleries. It sort of reminds me of Kentucky Derby Day. You know, in Kentucky with everyone wearing their, you'll see some people in casual, you know, maybe shorts and a white linen shirt, but you're going to see plenty of people wearing their best seersucker, their best white linen. And, you know, you can wander in and out of the galleries there. There's food, there's cocktails and that kind of thing. There's an after party at the CAC, the Contemporary Arts Center, right there. Again, it's sort of, I don't know, a little hoity-toity maybe is too strong for me, but, you know, it's a way to put on your nice white linen and go out and have a great time and enjoy the Warehouse District. It's in the evening.
And if you like to check out art, I mean, if you're a lover of art, I mean, there are a lot of galleries here. A lot of them are open for you to view, you know, what they have on display, and it's a great time to do it. when the weather, I mean, it's usually in the evening after the sun has gone down, so it should hopefully be a little bit cooler. But if not, at least you're getting in and out and in and out and trying to stay cool.
Yeah, well, and it's right there by the World War II Museum. So again, if you wanted to do that, there's some great restaurants right in there. La Boca, wonderful Argentinian steakhouse, not far. Pesh Seafood. There, you'd want to make reservations well
right.
in advance.
Right, if you're planning on coming in for those activities or to come in for White Linen Night, you want to get your restaurant reservations for anything that might be in the area. Down in the Warehouse District, like Mark said, Pesh, Emeralds, any of those things, you're going to want to get your reservations booked ahead of time so that you're not scrambling.
But that could be a fun evening there. And then, so this made me laugh, Marie, when I looked it up. So that's White Linen Night. Well, you knew this sort of had to happen. The Saturday, the week after White Linen Night, is now Dirty Linen Night.
And that one's news to me.
So it's been there 6, 7, maybe 8 years, but Dirty Linen Night is on Royal Street in the French Quarter. So the two, like, gallery-lined streets in the city, I would throw Magazine in there too, but you have Julia Street in the Warehouse District, which has been doing White Linen Night for a long time, and now on Royal Street, which is also lined with galleries and antique shops and that kind of thing. They have Dirty Linen Night. So Dirty Linen Night includes Royal Street, but also Jackson Square and Dutch Alley, which is that little alley behind Café Du Monde. And so it's kind of, they're parodying, like so many things in New Orleans, parodying White Linen Night. So what they encourage you to do is wear the linen clothes you wore the week before, but not wash them. So they're going to be a little dirty, a little scuffed
Great.
Up.
Great.
And they offer, you'll like this, they offer dirty martinis and dirty rice.
Well, there you go.
So dirty rice, if you're not familiar with it, it's a Cajun rice dish. It's usually made with chicken livers and giblets chopped up and blended in. And yes, you're screaming, but it's far better than it sounds. In fact, if you've ever had dirty rice at Popeyes, you've had chicken livers and chicken giblets. So, but that seems like a great tongue-in-cheek night. I think, Marie, it's sort of like the coup d'etat, as coup d'etat is to Rex, right? So Rex is the
A little rivalry among the arts districts.
Right. If Rex is the old school traditional Mardi Gras Day parade, coup d'etat is the satirical kind of poking fun at it and poking fun at New Orleans. And I would say Dirty Linen Night is kind of the coup d'etat versus the Rex of White Linen.
And when
Night.
Is that, Mark?
So that is, White Linen Night is August 5th, and Dirty Linen Night is always Saturday a week after.
Okay, got it.
So it'd be a little obnoxious if they did it the next day, so they do it a week later. Again, we like to have fun here, and we like to poke fun, so that's a fun event there. Let's see, where are we at on our list, Marie? We have come through most of a couple events in August, and you notice there's fewer events as you get into August because it's hotter, you know? Oh, the other thing we didn't mention is the Red Dress Run in August. And I don't have the date right in front of me. I might find it while we're talking. But the Red Dress Run, gosh, the history of the Red Dress Run really goes to the Hash House Harriers, which is a running group. Basically, it's billed as a drinking group with a running problem, I think is the slogan. There's Hash House Harriers or chapters all over the world. But here in New Orleans, the Red Dress Run has thousands of runners. So as the name implies, you have thousands of people, men and women, dressed up in red dresses. The running is secondhand to the drinking that goes along the route. So that's a fun tongue-in-cheek Red Dress Run. Again, if you've ever wanted to see thousands of people in red dresses at one time, that's a fun sort of moving party in August. And again, it's hot, so, you know.
Not sure the date has actually been set yet. So,
okay,
I mean, certainly you can
have it.
Take a look, and there are ways where you can sign up to be notified, I think, for various things that are coming up in case that's something that did interest you.
Yeah. And so again, now you're in like the epicenter of heat and humidity, but that's a fun time. And that leads us to, Marie, you know, we're coming up on an hour now, but sort of the way we wanted to end with the festivals is Southern Decadence. So Southern Decadence takes place over Labor Day weekend. It is the largest gay event here in New Orleans. It has a long storied history going back to the early 70s. It really started out as just a couple guys wanting to cool off in the heat of the summer and having some fun there. And so it has a parade, a costume contest. There's lots of adult themes, some of which I can't even give you the title on air, events and contests. It's everything you might imagine in terms of just a big weekend-long celebration of gay life and culture, really LGBTQ culture. Again, we're going to do a couple episodes because I think that the history of gay community and struggles and acceptance here in New Orleans is really interesting. New Orleans has had a large gay community, gosh, easily back into the 60s, if not earlier. And Southern Decadence is a great celebration. So there's a lot of events, again, very adult-oriented. The parade and the costumes are well worth seeing.
And it's just something to keep in mind if you're thinking, I mean, you know, it's the closeout of the summer, although not the heat.
Right.
But with Labor Day, you know, sort of wrapping things up here and kids getting back to school. If you're coming into town around that time, just remember, I mean, I don't know if Southern Decadence takes over the city as much as, say, something like Essence Festival. But if you're looking to head to the French Quarter and maybe you don't want the kids to see that sort of
Absolutely.
Thing, keep that in mind, because that is something that is definitely going on there around Labor Day.
Yeah, it's a great point. It could be a real draw or maybe a weekend to skip, depending on your perspective. And certainly, if you're going to be in the French Quarter that weekend, you're going to be in the throes of it.
You're going to be in the middle of it, so.
Right, so something to keep in mind. Yeah, and so that kind of, you know, that's the sort of parameters we're set for this show in terms of looking. There's plenty of great festivals in the fall. We had done one of the very earliest shows about that. Maybe we'll revisit that as we get late into the summer, talking about things to do in the fall. But again, as we've tried to talk about, Marie, there's just a ton. I think we covered about 24 festivals and events. We definitely think you should intersperse some cooler activities. Or, you know, we had 2 episodes about snowballs. It'd be a great time. Go do an outdoor thing. A lot of them have snowball booths. Plum Street Snowballs, for instance, is often has a booth at these festivals. But a snowball, a streetcar ride is a great way to cool off, you know, and a cheap way to get out of the heat for a bit and explore uptown. You get the breeze on the streetcar. Again, if you're in City Park, you consider the museum, you can get beignets.
Or just getting out under the oak trees. I mean, I find that it's cooler when you're under the trees, even when it's hot as it is outside. If you're in that shade, somehow it just feels a little bit cooler.
It does. Or as you mentioned, over by the aquarium, ducking into the aquarium, or just the events there on the river. You know, you get the breeze of the river. You mentioned earlier, I think it's important for both kids and adults, having sunscreen, a hat, some water, comfortable shoes.
And just pace yourself. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do. You don't have to do it all. You know, go back to the hotel. If they have a pool, hop in the pool. You know, there are even some places around town, I think, that you can go where you don't even have to be staying there. I don't know if that's just for New Orleans locals or not, but, you know, sometimes it's like if you buy a certain amount of food, you can use their pool. But just try and stay cool and don't get overheated. So,
you know, the other thing is, even maybe less so in July and August, but most days, even in the summer, if you go out early this morning, again, it's early May, but we went out on the front porch and it was decent. You know, it wasn't terrible. Exploring the French Quarter or going for a walk early in the day is a nice way to do that. We love Two Chicks walking tours in the Garden District here. You take maybe the early tour and go do that. And then go to a museum or go relax again at the pool or do something in the middle of the day. Most of these festivals run into the evening, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, maybe not quite 9. And so again, you don't need to be out there in the heat of the day. You can go later in the day and enjoy a couple of hours. But again, you sort of want to pace yourself, and there's no reason to not come out and enjoy it. You just may not want to be out for 10 hours in the heat of the day. Any other tips you would add or anything else you want to say as we head towards the end of the show, Marie?
Don't discount New Orleans in the summer. You just have to approach it a little bit differently than you would in, you know, a cooler time of the year like the spring or the fall.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, Marie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. It's been fun having you do this with me.
And now everybody knows what I sound like.
Yeah. If you want to get Marie's insight on New Orleans, be sure to join the Facebook group over at Beyond Bourbon Street Crew. It's always interesting, the different angles you and I see on so much in life. But particularly, you just come across different things and you share articles and ideas and events and things that maybe I don't see. And I think it really adds just a different edge, a different view on the city.
Yeah, there's always something going on in this town. And I think, you know, if you take a look, you can find something for you.
Yeah, and that group is really great because you got a lot of people who love the city. Some live here, some travel here frequently. We'll put the links to the Facebook group and the show notes over at beyondbourbonst.com/63. You'll also be able to get a listing of all the festivals we talked about today over at that website. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it as a PDF guide or how I might do it, but we'll get something over there. If you want to hear more shows like this one, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are available every other Wednesday, and as you heard, we're working on lots of great ideas about Frenchman Street and the Marigny, about gay life in New Orleans, the Higgins boats, World War II, and a whole lot more. If you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you and I, and we would certainly appreciate a 5-star review and a couple of lines about what you like at the show over at iTunes. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.